In the time remaining, I would like to share with you what is available in the sciences for children, what is fundamental and foundational to science before lab science, before they get into upper division science. We have such a sometimes hodgepodge in science that we've left the teaching of the branches of nature. And according to the order of creation, which is natural for children, I think, to observe immediately, is in the science of botany, I believe. So Dr. Worthington Hooker, I discovered, had prepared a series of texts for teachers and mothers to aid them in teaching children the observation of nature. And you'll find that language is very charming and appropriate for children. But what I wanted to do for you, and which is also on the CD that is slipped in with the botany text, is this overview. But I want each of you to share in the ideas of how to lay a foundation for botany. Okay, we're talking about a biblical basis for what we're teaching, so that the children are aware that this subject is from God for us. It's not from the state, mandatory, compulsory requirement. It is this branch of science, this knowledge given to us by God for our good. Again, we're talking about what will cause us to be more free as an individual. And knowing botany will advance our own liberty. But what is the content of botany? We're dealing with vegetation. We're dealing with plants or vegetables, certain kinds. And the certain kinds, we're looking at their structure, functions, properties, habits, and arrangements. And you'll find that good doctor does that when he opens up the field of botany to children. So I simply, again, went to the content and, with the help of Webster, gave me dominion over vegetables, plant, and then, of course, we're dealing with parts of the seed and tree, which are mentioned here in the parts of the definition. Things that gave me, now when have you heard, I'm sure you have, the idea of 4Ring, research, reason, relate, record. I have been aware that some teachers divide their binders according to the 4Rs and try to file papers according to research, reason, relate, record. This is one of those misconceptions of the principal approach I teach about. The 4Ring, in my opinion, this is my humble opinion now, okay, is not for students. And why I research, reason, relate, and record is in order to come up with something like this. So long as I research, reason, relate, and record, as they say, I am looking for content, I am looking for biblical origin, I am looking for biblical principles, okay? That's why I search the scriptures. That's why I define my subject. That's why I find the biblical basis for the content. So in all of these subjects, you'll find biblical I'm looking for content, origin, purpose, and principles. We start with botany, you go to zoology, you go to geology, and you'll find that's what I did for each of these subjects. And how did I arrive at these pages. I try to put everything on one page, even though I have to make it fit, okay? I like things on one side if I could possibly help it all look at it together. So what I found in my research was the content. So at least I know the parameters, the content of the subject of botany. And I look at the origin of this science, the origin of vegetation, the origin of plants and trees. Well, it was God himself who put and placed the trees and vegetation upon the earth. It says so. It's recorded in Scripture. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. So I'm dealing with seeds, I'm dealing with grasses and vegetation, I'm dealing with trees. Those are the broad, all right, broad areas of botany, very broad from the beginning. There's a purpose for my teaching botany, and that is God instructed Adam to dress and keep the garden. We are in charge of caring for these plants, for keeping and the provision God has given us, to put in order, to cultivate, to take care of. He asked Adam to do this for his garden, and should God give us our garden, our place, our plot of earth, this is what he's given man to do. That's his charge to man concerning vegetation, concerning plants, concerning the trees. Why? Because God said these are for you for food. And not only for food, but we may have from plants great service. These are for the service of man. God says, this is my provision for you, for your good, for your benefit, for your service. So take good care of it. And it's not conservation, it's just take good care of it. You see, we're not letting nature dictate, but we're taking dominion of nature, which is the reverse. And we wouldn't know that this was meant for us in this way unless God revealed it. And out of vegetation comes construction. We build houses, we build boats, we build many things from wood, from trees, from plants. They provide a great service to us. And we're just as God used, or Noah built the ark from gopher wood. And we can think of other things that were built. The temple was built. The frame of the temple was of wood. And so all the things that we can look around is from wood, from nature, from God's plants. He built goodly houses. Genesis, Noah began to be a husband, and he planted a vineyard. We have vineyards that produce drink and wine and juices that come from fruits. And, of course, the healing of the nations. There are healing power. There is healing power in vegetation. God has given every place on earth its own riches. And in those riches are the vegetation and plants for the people. And in them will be medicines, herbs that are medicinal, that are curing, that are healing. They're marvelous provisions. They're from nature itself. We make clothing from plants. There's the cotton. There's fibers that come and, again, cause us to look to God's provision. Even shade, Jonah and his little gourd, right, that he cried for. But shade itself is a service to mankind. And what trees do in nature for us, and the vegetation as well, not only lush vegetation, but what it's able to do as far as provide things, homes for trees, right? I mean, homes for birds, right? The birds build their nests in trees. And so these are just a hint of the good that come from the caring for the plants and the trees and vegetation that comes from creation. The principles. I want to acknowledge that God's handiwork reveals who God is. And in vegetation, we're going to see order, magnitude, in all of science, in all of nature, not simply in botany, but I think in astronomy as well, and in the study of rocks and geology, we're going to see order, magnitude, power, infinite variety, and beauty. When it says that the things of God, the invisible things of God, are revealed in the things that are made, and I simply sat down and said, what do I simply, without having much strain of thought, conclude I see in nature? I do see order, and that speaks of God. I see magnitude. I see large, wonderful kinds of nature. I see large fishes, I see whales, I also see large trees, the sequoia, I see large seeds, I see small seeds by contrast. I see great power. The life is in the seed. What kind of power is life itself in the seed? Again, these things bespeak of God. The power of water to travel up. Have you ever thought of that? That water travels upward in plants? That it comes from the ground up into the plant? What kind of ability is that? Infinite variety, all kinds and species. Variety, infinite variety and beauty, of course, the flowers and gardens, and they ornament. God ornaments the world and creation with great beauty. So just a hint of what we recognize is responsible for what we see in nature. God's order, God's ability to show of magnitude and greatness, his power, infinite variety. What I have, again, after this is the outline of the text with botany. And what I did was just give you an overview. It's an overview of how you might break the text material. And there are activities that go along with this, and science ought to have activities that are appropriate to the course. And so there are suggestions there of what activities to do as suggested by in the text itself. So just to how to organize the material. There are questions, of course, that go along with that are in the CD. But I wish that as you see in the first part, that you do deal with a biblical basis for botany, that we go back and lay a biblical foundation for the study of botany that is not required of man but required of God. And that puts us accountability for knowing about these things. We count to God and not to man. And that gives life itself, I think, gives purpose. We have in zoology, which is the second book, the same idea. And again, I simply, for our sakes, define what zoology was, and you'll see again the kinds of things that are studied in zoology. I took the categories from Genesis, dealing with sea animals as well as the fowls of the air. So then we have creatures that are in the waters, creatures of the air, we have creatures of the earth. And those are the broad categories of animal life. Where do we see the biblical origin, biblical purpose, and the biblical principles? And the biblical principle I wish to communicate with children is, which is very hard to do these days with modern cinema and modern television, because the animals somehow are human-like. And the intent here is that man is better than the animals. Matthew 6:26, are ye not much better than they? The point is that man is superior to animal life. Sometimes we get that animals do better than humans, some of the messages that we get, or that they're just like us. But man made us to be above the animals. Whoso knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward? See, there's a separation right there, that we are not of the animals. There are functions of our body that animals have, but we are still not of their kind, of their type. Most biology books, if you open them up, I don't know why Christians teach biology, because you'll find in texts and in their categories, in taxonomy, man is part of mammals, right? Why is he even on the tree? I mean, I can allow animals to be categorized, but why is man on that tree? He should be separate. He's not a part of that at all. But biology is a study of all life, and they lump all life together. But God says, you are better than the fowls of the air. You don't belong on that tree. If you just take man out, we'll be okay. But why they put... And so, again, God gave goodly wings to the peacock. God hath deprived her of wisdom. You see, the peacock doesn't have the capacity to reason like man has down there in Job. And these things are instinctive. God gave these things to animals as instinct. Man is, again, over these. He's not one of them. That's very important. Today, I think, in especially children's cinema, there's confusion. It's very subtle, but you're one and the same somehow. I don't know. Yes, a dog can be your best friend, but he's not like you, okay? He's not even better than you. So just the biblical principle is that there is a separation between man and animal. We love to confuse. The biblical purpose of getting animals is to be the service of man. And there's much to learn from animal. Animals are not plants. They're not vegetation. They do have their peculiarities. They do have their qualities of character that are special to them. And we're to learn, go to the ant, right, you sluggard. Yes, there are habits that animals do instinctively or behave instinctively that nature, that's part of nature, part of their creation. And there is instruction to be gotten, but we're not to be identified with them. So they're to be, they're from God for our good and for our use. And just to make that separation, again, the zoology text, as you see, the overview there, it's a primary course. It's a larger text, has 32 chapters. And it deals with, again, the care of our own bodies. But, see, we're thinking, animals, what do they think? How man is superior to animals. This is very important in the doctor's book. And he wants that point made in the final conclusion. But, some of the things, the functions of animals, such as blood and stomach and teeth, circulation and breathing, those are... we have animal aspects. So this is primary introduction to physiology as seeing it operate not only in man, but understand how they operate in the animal. The eyes, hearing, and this deals with, again, some of the human functions of the human body, functions of the human, smell, taste, touch, the bones. But this is, again, elementary and fundamental before they move on to upper science. So I advise that these are, again, well-written for children itself, not technical, but, again, coming from the standpoint of the creator who made these things. And I think it's done very well. We have geology next. And I suggest that geology, just by suggestion, geology come before the third volume. I didn't bring the CD on geology, but I do have a CD on geology, a course that just basics. And we taught this to sixth graders in the school I had. Again, I deal with content. What am I dealing with when I deal with geology? I'm really dealing with the foundations of the earth and how God built the structure that is the earth supported by the rock underneath. This crust of ours is supported by a foundation called rock. So God made dry land. He said, I laid the foundations of the earth. We're dealing with what's underneath. Geography deals with what's on top. But geology is dealing with what's underneath. And he stretched out the earth above the waters, so to speak. He appointed the foundations of the earth. He laid the foundations. And so it's not so much that when God laid the foundation, he made it sure. He made it able to support all that he put on there. That is by design. There's a purpose. There is intelligence. It's not random, but it was made to, again, be the support of everything that is on the surface of the earth. There's much to learn. God has put in the foundation of the earth much for us to discover. There are things yet we do not know, unseen, untouched. The earth is full of God's riches. God will not run out of supply for his creation. There is no mistake. God did not miscalculate, but all the provisions that we need to support our living in this earth is in the earth. It's amazing what the earth is. No other planet like it. And so we need to discover go, there are places yet of discovery. I know we want to go to Mars and Jupiter, but there are things still internal of the Earth God has preserved, reserved for our use. It's remarkable. And, of course, the principles. What do we see in the Earth? We see greatness. We see the things are hid that will be brought forth to light, searched out beneath. God is directing us to go and search what he has for us, a sure foundation. The foundation is on a rock, and there's many kinds of rocks. And, again, the beauty that is there. And the mountains are rock and are strong to support. So just to give what we're dealing with and again the biblical basis for it and the detail of it. Again, I have the overview, and this is, of course, dealing with the CD that I have and how you might do it, what activities you might do. Again, these are introductory. They're not in-depth, but they're sufficient to give, again, a foundation for future science and future learning. Sometimes teachers are, especially in schools, are delayed or, you know, find that they have to teach the most elementary things before they can really get depth. They can't go in depth because students are not ready. They have not been introduced to the most basic ideas concerning science in childhood years. So I offer that as fundamental and enjoyable to do. When it gets them outdoors, they can't do science without going outside. And that's the limitation of classroom teaching. You can't take them on a field trip, but every once in a while, but every day you can go out and find flowers. I had children having taken botany all of a sudden recognize and see flowers. They never saw flowers before, and now their eyes are open to observe and look at flowers, and they're picking them all over the place. Okay, but they get to look at a microscope. They draw them. They examine them. They know their parts, and that's basic. And I would advise you that when you do botany with children, they have one binder, small, slim binder now, of all the things they observe and draw and see and even collect. I had a student who, you know, pasted, dried them and put them in the binder or in a plastic sheet just as highlight or draw them and color them. But that's very natural thing for them to love to do. So, but they're observing nature in a way that perhaps isn't being done today. You have with you then the third part, the book three, of Hooker's book, and natural philosophy deals with things that really you can't touch, taste, or see, but we deal with phenomena, and he offers some experiments that you might do, that is testing for truth, testing a law, a phenomena, and so I think these are for older ones, probably age 11, 12 would be good for this book. And what chapters you cover. But what I've highlighted here, air, water, heat, cold, light, electricity, magnetism, gravitation, what I've highlighted, those pages highlight experiments that you do, things that you set up, and they make observations with concerning air and water. So just as a practical study, and again, a light study, but basic, very basic. It may have been written in the late 19th century, but the truths were discovered already, right? There's still principles. Some of the pictures are kind of old-fashioned, but it's still true. It's like doing math with rays. Candy doesn't cost 7 cents a bar, but you're not interested in how much it costs. You're interested in how many you can get with it, okay? So just an overview of what you can think about doing, what is needed, essential, minimal, okay? And I think what's accessible to you without, you know, a lot of dependence upon anything outside of yourself. So I think we hit the mark, just a little bit over 2 minutes, but I think we're okay. Questions? Is this practical, useful?
A practical question. When you were indicating your opinion before on being private only for the teacher and the parents in the company, would you then recommend for the keep a notebook?
Well, that's right. This is what I'm saying. I mean, I don't want to be rigid with poor Ari. Every time you have an idea, what remains is what they record. What is the point of the lesson? or what truth they deduce. That's they keep, you know, put the date and the whatever study it is, have a separate divider for literature or a separate divider for, I recommend a separate slim binder for botany because it will fill because there are things to do in there they can and deal with. And some of them will be intrigued and maybe inspired to do more than what you're doing, and that's what we're hoping will be done. But it's the way he opens it up to the children that's very inviting. And it's not heavy with technical aspects. It's just teaching them to observe and appreciate these things and explain how things work in a plant. And there's just a wonderful knowledge that you can get and need to have that we take for granted. As well as our body, we don't know how we function. We don't know what we do to ourselves when we intake certain foods or certain chemicals. And we're just treating this like a garbage pail, right? It's not. We need to care for ourselves. How do we do that? What is inside? What is good health? Because we're ignorant. And it talks about digestion. It talks about these things that are in animals and that we share with animals. So, very fundamental, very essential to have dominion over your, not only nature, but dominion over this. Okay? And you're planting that seed in the early years. Then they're ready to build on it with higher math, higher upper science, laboratory science. They can take chemistry and go forth and do physics in your local JC if you want, or self-teach. But you do need labs somewhere in there. And I think the local colleges offer good equipment for that. So, good question. Anything else? A lot to think about. Yes? Bible. Well, I would read Mr. Rose's introduction, his section. It's very intense, very dense reading. So it's not, you know, you don't do a lot at one time, but you begin practicing these, I think, with the teaching of Bible. If you don't do anything, do Bible. But Mrs. Smith's books are great because they're right there with you. You learn right alongside, and you don't have to think. She's thought it through for you, and you're learning with your child. The intent of literature is to do more than simply read, but to, again, learn truth. So the guides are coming about. I think we've all been fired from a job so that we can do these guides. No, I left. I didn't fire. I wasn't fired. But God fired me just so that these things can be done for this time. So more is on the way. And, again, I've been blessed to be among home educators to really know what's going on, the ugly truth. But to bring it to where we are to meet the need, that's all. And hopefully someday I look forward to having schools that we can build universities upon. That's the goal. And seminaries upon. Okay? So, anything else? Go slowly. Don't be in a hurry. Let God direct. And He called you into this, so He must supply. Right? He has. So, this is His perfect timing. And His perfect timing for you and for us. So, God does have a sense of humor. Okay? So, be kind to yourself. Be compassionate of yourself, your own ignorance. Okay? Be kind. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind.